Good afternoon. Thanks, everyone, for coming. And I can't tell you how pleased I am to be allowed to present the Breastfeeding Forum. I'd like to also acknowledge my co-authors, Ryan Butterfield, who's finishing his DRPH at Georgia Southern University, and worked with me at the University of Florida College of Medicine. And also, he's getting a degree, by the way, in biostatistics. And Ashley Ridlin from University of North Florida, who is an undergraduate student in cultural anthropology. I have no relationships to disclose. Basically, this study started from a simple observation. Like in my introduction, I've worked with the Northeast Florida Lactation Coalition for quite a while, collecting their data. And when the Joint Commission in 2010 enacted their new guidelines for reporting, we saw some dramatic changes within our county and the Northeast Florida region. Beyond that, we wanted to look and see, you know, what effect did those reporting requirements actually have on those breastfeeding rates. And we also wanted to see, just through presentations at our monthly meetings with the coalition, a lot of the hospitals had talked about the fact that this change had really pushed their hospitals to make some policy changes to really look at their breastfeeding rates and things like that. And so we wanted to look at that and also how far along the 10 steps to support breastfeeding they felt they were. So for those of you who don't know, I'm not going to go through all the ins and outs of the definition, but basically Joint Commission requires that only babies who have received nothing other than breast milk by mouth be reported as exclusively breastfeeding. And then the denominator is for non-NICU babies without a contraindication for breastfeeding. I'm going to skip a few of these just to make sure we stay on time. So these are the number of births, live births, by the counties that participate in our lactation coalition. And you can see Duval County, by far, has a lot of births within our county, and that's where most of the hospitals are located, although they're also in a number of the other counties also. For vital statistics data and PRAMS both report about 80% breastfeeding initiation within the hospitals, and also reported that dropped to about 63% by 1 month and about 43% by 3 months. So we know that although a lot of women start breastfeeding, they don't continue to do so within our county. Again, a little background. They report their numbers to me from each hospital through the lactation coordinator for the hospital, typically an IBCLC. I also get NICU reports and reporting from all the WIC offices in the different counties. So our methods were pretty simple. We looked at data from January of 2008 through December of 2009, and at this time, prior to the Joint Commission change, the definition of a breastfed baby was if they were mostly breastfeeding during their hospital stay and the mother planned to breastfeed when they were discharged from the hospital, then we counted them in our numerator, and the denominator was any baby who is eligible to breastfeed. And we actually implemented in our coalition hospitals the Joint Commission policy a bit early. In January of 2010, they switched to the exclusively breastfed numerator and the Joint Commission definition for the denominator. And what we saw was a significant change in the difference between the 2009 and 2010 data. You can also note that in 2009, our rates were already heading down, and I'll talk a little bit about that later. But they definitely dropped in 2010 by a mean of 16.1%, and they continued to drop from a high of quarter one 2009 of about 70% to around 40% throughout 2011. We then wanted to kind of look at, we have some hospitals that do really well supporting breastfeeding moms and having a population that wants to breastfeed. a number of other factors, and we group them by those who, at the beginning of this data analysis, were kind of our high achievers and those that generally did not do so well. And we actually had 100% cohesion between pre and post guideline change, that those that did really well prior to the implementation of the change recovered quickly afterwards and are trending upward again in their breastfeeding rates, exclusively breastfed rates, whereas those that were kind of struggling before the definition change are continuing to struggle and are kind of trending downward. Specifically for the hospitals, each one did have a statistically significant difference in their pre and post guideline change, some as high as a 30% change, others as low as 8%. Hospital number 9 is our one baby-friendly hospital that's in our area. It is a military hospital. It's not hard to find because there's only one in our region. And so we also wanted to look at them a little bit in terms of using them as a gold standard against what's possible within our county with all 10 steps implemented. So we then went forward to look at, okay, the hospital's rates dropped. Then what happened? Did they try and implement more of the 10 steps, or did they do other things to try and bring up their exclusively breastfed rates? During this time, there was also a very large push within our community for the hospitals to become baby-friendly, and a UF Division of Community Pediatrics physician, along with Northeast Florida Lactation Coalition members, meet with the hospital CEOs on a quarterly basis to talk to them about becoming baby-friendly. Most of them did not want to do that, especially before the guideline change around 2008-2009. They're a little more interested now. And again, looking at our baby-friendly hospital that did become baby-friendly in 2011, we can look at where our other hospitals are here in quarter one of 2012. And we see that some of them have recovered very nicely and are really approaching the rates that we see with our baby-friendly hospital. And others are still really struggling with up to a 48% difference between the baby-friendly hospital breastfeeding rates and where they're at here in 2012. We then asked the hospitals about where they felt, how close they were to being baby-friendly, supporting breastfeeding, if they had made any policy changes. We did that through a survey over the phone with them. And we really found no relationship between how well they felt they were doing with the number of steps they implemented and what their actual quarter one exclusively breastfed rates were. And I present this mostly because we often hear what really works when we come to conferences, and what I want people to know is it doesn't really work to ask hospitals how many steps they've implemented. I think that, and I'm not sure it works to ask mothers how many steps they experienced. Our new idea is maybe to ask the doulas, because they're in the hospitals and they see a lot of births. So that's kind of the new route that I'm going down, but yeah, it didn't really work. But what we did glean from that is the two items that the hospitals reported they really have a struggle with implementing, even though they were over-reporting the number of steps that they were able to implement, 75% that said that supplementation was still an issue for their hospital, and 50% said that training the healthcare staff to implement their breastfeeding policy was still an issue. Three hospitals reported that their hospital had made no policy or practice changes, even with the new definition for reporting, whereas 5 reported that their hospital did make changes. And one of the things that I want to point out, one of the big changes that we've seen in our community, which often we look at policy as something that's created at the local level and works its way up. In this situation, I'm looking at policy that was created on a national level and how it's impacting us at local level. And it really was a wake-up call for the CEOs and other people who make policy decisions at the local level at our hospitals that their breastfeeding rates were not good when we took out the supplemented infants. When it was at 70, 80, 90% for some of the hospitals, they really didn't feel a reason to change the policy or practices. When it dropped to 25% or, you know, 40% for the ones that were really good at supporting their moms, that kind of shocked them and woke them up. A couple of the things that our IBCLCs have done to try and help even in hospitals that aren't that supportive have been to post their breastfeeding rates weekly by where the nurses can see them, because it's really helped the providers to take supplementation seriously. When they thought that, you know, I can supplement this infant or that infant, it didn't seem like as big of a deal. But when they look at it now and see that every infant they supplement is going to affect that rate, then they take it seriously and really think twice before they do it. We've also had one of our hospitals able to get rid of the formula bags that they give out. So again, we've seen a significant reduction in our breastfeeding rates. The ones that were high performing are trying to raise their rates and are going in the right direction. Those that were not performing so well have not been so lucky, although we have seen a 5 to 8% per month post-JC change increase in all the rates. Some limitations, not all the hospitals report. We have one that doesn't. Has some incomplete missing data, demographic variation between hospitals, and I would consider weighting the data. We have some very large hospitals, and then we have some very small hospitals. And some of that 2009 change, we believe, was probably due to staffing. Now, some of our very large hospitals wanted to reduce their budget, so they cut their staffing and had their lactation support cover both the deliveries and the NICU. And that really stretches the staffing, and the statistics show that it really changed the rates. And we still haven't seen how well it will affect policy over time, because they've only been a couple of years into it. And there's all my thank yous. That works.